Go here, there, and everywhere with Jeff Blair. Subscribe to podcasts of The Jeff Blair Show at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher, Sportsnet 590 The Fan, on demand. Wake up. Jeff Blair wants to give you a piece of his mind.
For me, it was the perfect way to end, well, one of the most imperfect days that I've seen. I was lucky last night. I got to spend a night among some heroes. I got to spend the night celebrating the newest inductees into Canada's Sports Hall of Fame and honoring some of their predecessors. And, you know, I think each of us in our own way was thinking about heroes from a different sphere yesterday. People like Corporal Nathan Cirillo, the reservist based in Hamilton with the Argyle and Sutherland Highlanders, and Kevin Michael Vickers, our sergeant-at-arms, and the man credited with bringing down a gunman poised to strike at the very heart of our democracy. You see, don't the people who corrupt and co-opt religion for their own ends understand? I mean, they won't win. They can't win. They have no chance because our heroes are more numerous and better than them. And so today we transition back into our lives, uncertain of what the new normalcy will look like, or feel like for that matter, but confident that with people like, well, Nathan Cirillo and Kevin Michael Vickers and some of the people whose company we enjoyed last night, George Shavallo, Geraldine Heaney, the parents of Sarah Burke, cross-country skier Pierre Harvey, his son Alex, wheelchair basketball coach Tim Freck, I mean, all of them. We enjoyed their company last night, and we are confident that we will adapt and emerge stronger. You know, no group of individuals will have had their working lives altered more by Wednesday's events than the men and women we elect to represent us. You know who they are. They're the people who you see them on TV. They infuriate us, and they cause us to have arguments with our family members and friends, and sometimes they even inspire us as they do the necessary and quite often messy business of running the country. I don't care what your political stripe is. Seeing our MPs barricading themselves in their caucus rooms had to piss you off. I mean, we are a small enough country that this was personal. So we've here have spent the past 24 hours or so in this station treading carefully, trying to find the balance between sports and real life, trying to find the balance between seriousness and trying to lighten things a little bit, as much as we can anyhow. And so now we move on. Many of our sports heroes have gone on to have political careers in Ottawa, and many of them probably understood all too deeply what it would have been like in the center block of Parliament on Wednesday. I'm thinking of people like Red Kelly, thinking of people like Howie Meeker, and I'm thinking of our next guest, Hockey Hall of Famer and former MP, Ken Dryden.
The Jeff Blair Show is on the air on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Join the conversation with Jeff on Twitter using the hashtag Blair Show or call 416-870-0590. Now, here's Jeff Blair.
All right, as I said in my intro, for a lot of us, what happened yesterday was intensely personal. I don't know if there's a Canadian out there who hasn't walked the area around Parliament Hill or visited Ottawa. I mean, I made the point in my show yesterday that having lived in Ottawa for 7 years and gone back there, I don't know, 5, 6, 7 times a year for family. I mean, I've walked that area with my daughter, with my wife, with my parents. I walked it when I was 7 years old. I walked it when I was 6 years old. I remember lining up to see the Queen. I mean, that whole area has, for a lot of us, the area around the National War Memorial and Parliament Hill is, that's an important part of our life. It's a very, for me at least, a part of the country that I feel a real personal connection to. And I've got to think that the events that happened yesterday in Ottawa, for people who have served in Parliament, for people who have done the business of the country, who have done what our MPs were doing yesterday, gathering for their caucus meetings. I've got to think that the sounds, the sights, the stuff we've read about it had to be just such a body blow for a lot of people. Ken Dryden, of course, Hockey Hall of Fame goaltender, former MP. He joins us in the Jeff Blair Show. And Ken, talk to me about what a Wednesday morning caucus meeting would have been like 4 years ago, or when you were going to caucus meeting. What would your Wednesday morning have been? Try to take us into that room.
Sure. Well, first of all, the room is just off of, the clip that everybody saw last night, and with the security people scrambling and the sound of gunshots. That was in a corridor right in the center of center block. Just as you would come in the main doors, straight ahead would be that corridor, and on one side of that corridor would be the caucus room for the government, for the Conservative Party, and on the other side would be the caucus room for the official opposition, now the NDP, but 4 years ago would have been the Liberals. And at 10 o'clock every Wednesday, the MPs gather for their national caucus meetings. And on Mondays or Tuesdays, or sometimes on Thursdays, some MPs are in other parts of the country doing other parliamentary work, but on Wednesdays they're back. The Prime Minister is back. The party leaders, the other party leaders are back. So everybody is there in their national caucuses. And they start at 10 o'clock. And so once 10 o'clock happens, then those corridors become pretty empty. Just before that time, there are a bunch of people moving from other places into those rooms. There's also media that gathers around the entrance to those rooms to get a quick quote from somebody going into those meetings. But at 10 o'clock, everything goes vacant, and pretty much as you would have seen in those clips. And so then, when the shooting happens, and is that people are inside, just a wall away from where those gunshots are going off, and if you're inside, you'd hear that noise, but it would be so incongruous to it would sound like gunshots, but of course it couldn't be gunshots, because this was. This was Parliament. That it wouldn't be so that which was unimaginable would be unbelievable, and so there might be somebody who would just sort of peek their head out to sort of see, but then I guess what happened is that the security people, they immediately went inside those doors and told the people in the caucuses what had happened, and to just stay there. And not go out. And of course, then what happens is that it's very much like anything that we watch on television or in the movies, is what do you do then? You're inside, you have some idea or only a very little idea of what's going on outside. You have to stay inside. And you're trying to imagine the dimensions of what might be happening and how you might be able to protect yourself if the security people can't protect you on the doors. And so you get into things of going onto the floor, turning tables over, barricading doors and things like that. So, that's very much what it would have felt like. And at the same time, that kind of disbelief, disorientation, and just trying to figure out, what's going on and what would happen next.
Ken Dryden joins us on the Jeff Blair Show. Ken, I took Canadian history in high school. I studied it in university. I know some of the terms, parliamentary terms, some of the job descriptions. I knew about the sergeant at arms. I knew about the title. But I certainly didn't know anything about Kevin Vickers, and I, Craig Oliver, CTV, had this remarkable description of seeing Kevin Vickers come out of his office yesterday with a handgun. And, you know, again, for someone like you, I'm sure you know, you probably, this is probably a guy you walk by every day, a guy you may have had coffee with in your job. What type of a man is he? And, you know, did you, what exactly does a sergeant of a sergeant at arms do?
Well, he does, just as you said, he does a lot more than you think he does. I mean, to him, or to you, for the most part, he's the guy that when you go into the floor of the House of Commons for question period, he's the one that starts the proceedings. He comes in his very elaborate uniform, carrying a mace, and then question period begins. And over time, you know, you get to know him a little bit, and then a little bit more, and a little bit more. And you know, one of the quite remarkable things, you know, is that, I mean, when somebody does something special, you know, that invariably they get described in overwhelming terms, mm-hmm. you know, after that for an act that they've done, and then, you know, it happens that Kevin Vickers really is all of those things that people say he is. He is the guy from Miramichi. You know, he's from small town New Brunswick. He spent, you know, his work career all over the country in a lot of unglamorous postings.
He's a former, we should tell people, I believe he's a 29-year veteran of the RCMP.
That's right. Okay. That's right. And he'd been, you know, in a lot of RCMP-like postings, often in small towns, and in small towns where you get to know people get to know you. So much of your police work is really getting to know people and them trusting you and you trusting them and developing, you know, in that way. And so then he comes back to Ottawa, you know, very late in his career and is doing this job. And then yesterday happens. And in hearing about it, you know, all I could think of was this was a guy who, you know, had been preparing his skills, obviously, all of his life. But even more than that, you know, he was just developing as this person. Mm-hmm. And so when the moment happened, you know, that he sort of looks around and realizes something needs to be done. Somebody needs to do something. I need to do something. And he did.
Ken Dryden joins us on the Jeff Blair Show. How do you think Parliament, how do you think the government goes about finding the right balance when it comes to security in Parliament and accessibility? Because I always tell the story. Our best friends, my wife's best friends and myself, they live in Minneapolis. And they've come up to Canada several times. We've gone to Ottawa several times. He's actually an architect. And so, I mean, we went to the Parliament buildings one time, and he basically just enjoyed the unfettered access. He thought this was great. You know, he could walk around and he said, you really feel at home. You really feel comfortable. How do we strike that balance, Ken? Because obviously security is a concern. There's no doubt about that.
Yeah.
But at the same time, you know, that's kind of, it's my house, you know, it's other people's houses. I like walking around those grounds every time I'm in downtown Ottawa. I get a coffee, I go walking around, I look at the statues, I sit and look over into Hull and all that stuff. And I don't want to lose that.
Yeah, no. And that's the challenge of the moment. And I don't know that you answer the question very well today.
Mm-hmm.
You certainly don't, you know, didn't answer, you know, no one answers it well yesterday. And gradually we will come to answer it better. And you know, what's been interesting about a lot of the commentary, especially this morning, has been in keeping with what you just said, you know, is that, you know, don't for a minute think that by making, you know, some changes, other changes don't happen.
Mm-hmm.
And that, you know, clearly what needs to be done is in terms of security people looking at all of this and saying, you know, how do we make ourselves more secure? But then at the same time is that that ultimate decision is made by somebody else, you know, is made not by a security person, somebody who takes that advice very seriously to mind, but also thinks about a lot of those things that you just brought up, that there is something quite special about Parliament Hill. And it's not just the way the Peace Tower looks. And it's not just that there is a front lawn, but there's a front lawn that is used. I mean, that people play, you know, frisbee and play touch football, you know, mm-hmm. on that front lawn. And that says a lot about us and a lot about us that matters a lot to us. So, you know, this is something that needs some days. You focus now on making sure that things are secure, and then you have, you know, those big questions ahead about what really did happen yesterday. I mean, was it an individual, who was cruel and violent, or was there even a larger story to it? Because whatever the story is, in many ways, you know, determines one's response or the right kind of response, and we don't know that yet. And so, you know, the most important thing in the next couple of days, beyond securing things, has to do with finding out what is the full and complete understanding of what happened, and then as the beginning to, okay, then what do we do now?
Ken, listen, I really appreciate you doing this today. As I said, I've got to imagine that for you and anybody who's served the country as an MP or a senator or in whatever capacity, that those pictures, those sounds must have been chilling and, as I said, deeply, deeply personal. And I truly appreciate you joining us.
Thanks, Jeff.
Take care. That is Ken Dryden, former member of Parliament and Hockey Hall of Fame goaltender. And as I said, it's, you know, once you move beyond the shock and you know, the anger and just the wanting to lash out at somebody about it, you sort of start wondering about the people whose daily life is going to the center block, is going to Parliament, debating, doing the stuff you do as an MP, carrying on, you know, the business of government and running the country. I mean, these people, they walk through that door every day, and I mean, I'm even thinking about the journalists that cover it. You know, they walk through those doors every day, and you know, you stop and talk in the lobby. Having your normal workplace, having what passes for the routine in your workplace altered so dramatically. I mean, I made the point before my intro about how, I mean, I don't know, we spent all day yesterday. I was on with Tim and Sid, and, you know, McCowan did the same thing, and then Brady and Walker this morning. How do you kind of strike the balance? I mean, our day was interrupted yesterday. I was talking to Mike Wilner. I was ragging to Mike Wilner for not making a World Series prediction. And then the sheet lands in your desk and you look at it and you go, wow. And that was our day. And we're not in Ottawa. I can't imagine what it would be like for somebody who has to go and sit in a caucus room and close that door next Wednesday and meet. Jonathan Gatehouse is a national correspondent with McLean's. Did terrific work yesterday and has spent a tremendous amount of time on Parliament Hill in Ottawa. Jonathan Gatehouse joins us on the Jeff Blair Show. Jonathan, thanks a lot for doing this. I know I've got to think that not a lot of people got a lot of solid rest last night as a result of this story.
Yeah, indeed, Jeff. It was a busy day yesterday for a lot of people, and I was not on the Hill yesterday, but the people from McLean's who were did a tremendous job as well.
Tell me a little bit. I know you've been down there, though. I know you've spent time down there in previous existences, as well as your current existence. And I've been going on this an awful lot and trying to tell people that it's such an accessible place in a lot of ways. At least I find it accessible. And you know, you heard Ken Dryden talking about people playing frisbee in the front lawn and flag football and all that stuff. As someone who's gone in those hallways and spent time down there, what do you think is going to happen? How do you think it's going to change?
Well, you know, I think sadly it is going to change. It has already changed over, you know, the course of my career, the last 20 years or so. I mean, it's, you know, security is a lot tighter. It's with each of these successive attempts or attacks or plots, it becomes tighter still. We've seen, you know, metal detectors arrive at doors. We've seen armed guards now, you know, in Parliament Hill. They're plainclothes guards, but they're there with guns. There's been talk of arming, you know, the Parliamentary Security Service, which, you know, may well happen after yesterday's tragic events. And you're right. One of the things that makes it Ottawa a special place, or all the legislatures in Canada, really, is the accessibility. It's the public face of them. That, you know, as a member of the public, you can go and sit in the gallery and watch the proceedings. That you can go on a tour. That, you know, these buildings belong to the people. And you know, I think sadly that you're going to see it become more like places like the U.S. Capitol building or the White House. I think we all remember that, you know, after 9/11, there was a long period of time where public tours to the White House were suspended for years. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think it's going to be a shame, but I'm not sure that there's any way around it.
The city itself, Ottawa, it's kind of, you know, I lived there for 7 years and it's changed a lot since I lived there. I mean, but it's, yeah, we always used to say Ottawa, hey, great place to raise a family. You know, sleepy little government. No, not really little, but sleepy government town. Had to go over to Hull if you wanted to have any fun. But, you know, I think sometimes there's a tendency on the part of people to look at Ottawa as being this transient place. And I'm sure there is. I mean, people come from all parts of the country to work there, whether it's in government or whatever, working for the national defense, whatever it is. People come from all parts of the country to work there, and there is that sort of transient nature to it. But how do you think people in Ottawa, you know, the people who've been born there, who were raised there, who live there, who run the coffee shops or cab drivers, whatever, how do you think they're going to handle this? Because, you know, for a capital city, we said it's pretty accessible, and it's also been relatively blessed when it comes to serenity. How do you think they will handle this?
You know, I imagine that there'll be some days of mourning and some days of shock, and that, you know, like with any of these things, when you pass by that war memorial from now on, there'll be a thought in your mind about Nathan Cirillo and what happened there yesterday. When you pass by Parliament Hill, you'll be thinking the same thing. But over time, these things fade and people get back to normal life, because that's the way we're wired. That's the way we have to be. But yeah, people say it's a loss of innocence. I'm not so sure it's a loss of innocence, whether anybody's really innocent in this day and age about terrorism and gunmen, or whether it's people that go into schools and shoot up schools. We all know that what lurks out there in the dark, you know, the horrors that we hope aren't going to happen, but sometimes do. I do think that it changes the culture. It makes us more paranoid for good reason. But in the end, I think people will get back to a normal life.
Jonathan Gatehouse of McLean's, he is their national correspondent, joins us on the Jeff Blair Show. We are told that MPs are going to, I don't know if they have, are going to gather at the War Memorial. I always call it the Cenotaph, which I think ages me, but at the National War Memorial today, and that they're going to walk to the House of Parliament for their Thursday question period. It's a pretty contentious place, Parliament. It's become more and more contentious over the years. We know that. I mean, you watch it on TV. It can be a bitter place at times. Jonathan, do you think it's going to change? Do you think the tone of political debate in Parliament will change as a result of this?
Oh, for the short term, Jeff. I mean, the thing about Parliament, and you mentioned, you know, I think what we see is often on TV is is what we like to call the Kabuki Theater a question period, right? People shouting and posturing. But the reality of Parliament is probably better reflected in what is happening right now, as you mentioned, which is, you know, the 308 MPs shoulder to shoulder standing in front of that war memorial and finding common cause and something to mourn together and strength in what unites us, not what divides us as a country. And, you know, that's the thing. When you cover politics, when you go to Ottawa or Queen's Park or wherever in Canada, what is actually the most stunning thing is to see how collegial it actually is when those cameras are turned off or when question period ends. There is actually a tremendous amount of respect amongst these people. There's a tremendous amount of goodwill and I think efforts to try and do good things for Canadians. But, you know, often that gets lost in the cut and thrust and what we all cover and what we follow, which is that horse race stuff and the division. But I think in the end, that this is something that will end up uniting people more than it divides them.
Jonathan, I appreciate you joining us today. It's going to be a hectic short-term future for you and a lot of people.
Thanks very much, Jeff.
Take care. That is Jonathan Gatehouse. He's a national correspondent for Maclean's. You can follow him on Twitter at John, J-O-N, Gatehouse. Folks at Maclean's, they did, well, people in our business in general yesterday, the people who make their livelihood spending time on Parliament Hill, for the most part, did a lot of yeoman-like work yesterday. And we appreciate Jonathan joining us. As we look back on a day that, as I said, is, I think Ken Dryden put it better than anybody, though, will change. But this is not the time to really figure out how we'll change. We'll need a few days to pass. We'll need some context to be added. There are a lot of questions coming out of this, a lot of questions about the security at Parliament Hill, security at the National War Memorial, security of our armed forces, the Ottawa police. There's a ton of stuff we need to see before we figure out exactly how we react to this. And Ken Dryden was right. It's probably not the day to sit down and say, all right, what do we change? You probably need a little bit of time for reflection and a little bit of time to put it in context. That's what we attempt to do in this station when it comes to sports and this show and Tim and Sid and Brady Walker and PTS and the overnight guys. That's what we try to do. We try to provide a little context to things to the best of our abilities. The World Series continued last night, a 7-2 win for the Kansas City Royals, just tying into the San Francisco Giants bullpen. And the series is even, 1-1, going back to San Francisco. And it will be interesting to see how the Giants, reacting to a loss is no big deal for the Giants. I mean, they're a resilient group. But reacting to a loss in which their bullpen, for one of the few times this postseason, really didn't seem to have an answer when losing a game for one of the first few times this postseason, their manager seemed to be struggling to come up with the right solution to the issues that were facing him. It'll be interesting to see how this Giants team moves forward. And they've been there before. They've won World Series before. I'm sure they'll figure it out. But needless to say, a 7-2 win for Kansas City. It was a beatdown, as much of a beatdown as Game 1 was a beatdown. Joe Siddall. It's our Blue Jays radio analyst in Sportsnet 590, The Fan. Haven't talked to Joe. It's been too long. He will join us when we come back. We'll talk about the Royals. Later on in the show, I'm going to ask a question about Major League Baseball that I think you're going to want to stick around for. Joe Siddall, Blue Jays radio analyst, will join us when the Jeff Blair Show continues on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
As an unlicensed doctor, we suggest a prescription for one of our shows. Sign up for our free podcast at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Fake doctor's orders. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand. Now more of the Jeff Blair Show on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Renaud Lavoie from TVA Sports. He is our regular Thursday insider. He will join us at 10:40. Matt Devlin, Raptors TV play-by-play voice. He will join us at 10:15. Thank the good Lord, the NBA preseason is almost finished. Almost finished. Cliff Corcoran, MLB writer for SI.com. He will be along at 10 o'clock. We'll get Cliff's take on Game 2 of the World Series. We got Puck Daddy. We've got Troy Rink, who covers the Broncos for the Denver Post. Kevin Barker's Broncos are taking on the San Diego Chargers tonight at Mile High Stadium on a Thursday nighter, so Troy Rink will join us as well. Lots of baseball, lots of football talk ahead. And, well, speaking of baseball, who better to talk to than Joe Siddall, our Blue Jays radio analyst on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Good morning, Mr. Siddall.
Morning, Mr. Blair. How are you?
I'm doing well. Moving on, like I think the rest of us are. Last night's game, you know, I asked the question going into the game, how are the Royals going to respond? They've had a pretty charmed existence. They've kind of had everything going their way during the postseason. Then they run into that. They run into the Giants, and they're steamrolled. I have to admit, I may be more impressed with the Royals this morning than at any point during this postseason, because it's one thing to rally, Joe, from a from a loss. It's another thing to rally in what was effectively a beatdown of a pretty good team.
Well, it sure was. And I think, though, if you were the Kansas City Royals and everybody's aware of the ride that they've been on, when you lose to Madison Bumgarner and the way he pitched and the way he's been pitching, you almost just chalk it up as exactly that. I'm not saying you're going in the game expecting to lose to Bumgarner, but you know what? It's one game. And the way they came back, I think what was most impressive last night from this Royals team, with not a lot of playoff experience. And what was most impressive for me was after the Blanco home run. I mean, that stadium could have silenced. The KC Royals could have rolled over, and they came right back. And that's, to me, spoke volumes to this team and the character that they're continuing to this wonderful ride. I was the first one before this series. I just said to myself, there's no way they can keep riding like this. I got San Francisco in maybe six games. And after the first game, of course, you kind of, again, you chalk that one up. Bumgarner just took that game away. It's a one-man show. But, boy, did they ever come back last night, and now I think we're in for a dandy.
Well, not only that. I mean, to come back from a game which you give up a leadoff home run. I watched that, and I saw that happen, and I thought it was going to be a blowout, Joe, but I thought it was going to be like 10-2 for the Giants. And I was sitting there thinking, you know, I remember covering the Rockies World Series against Boston, which may have been one of the most lopsided World Series ever. And I put my head in my hands, and I'm thinking, I don't want to go through another one of these four game, you know, absolute total destructions. Son of a gun, they came back, they tied into the bullpen, and you know, you've caught what goes through Buster Posey's mind during that inning when they literally can't get anybody out. I think it was I don't know how many minutes the half inning went. It was certainly over a half an hour. What goes through the catcher's mind there, Joe? Are you just trying to get an out? What are you trying to do in that situation?
Well, I think it started with Machi coming in. Once Bochy made that change and getting PV out of the ballgame, it was a matchup Bochy liked. And despite the struggles that Machi has had, you're looking for a ground ball. And what better guy than Billy Butler to get one? But we've seen Billy do this, and this is why he's such a good hitter. We saw it earlier in the ALCS, I believe it was, same situation, and he got under a baseball and he lifted it to the outfield to get a sacrifice fly. And that's done by design. That's just tremendous hitting. So Machi came in and threw two balls, and you fall behind 2-0 to Billy Butler. You are in big trouble. You had better locate a good fastball, and it better have some movement. And Machi didn't either. So as a catcher, you're Buster Posey back there just hoping he can locate this thing. Maybe he pops it up. Maybe he beats it into the ground. But clearly, it's not the result they got. It's a helpless feeling for a catcher. You are now kind of on a whim and a prayer, hoping that these pitchers can locate pitches. And when they're not locating them against a hitting team, these guys swing the bats. We know the Royals
don't walk a lot. They don't hack it, and they're good hitters. And as a catcher, it is a very helpless feeling to try to get your pitcher to locate a pitch. I mean, you can set up. You can do everything with your target, your body, and do everything you can to try to help that pitcher and DNA to him. But ultimately, the ball is coming out of his hand, and it's really out of your control.
Yeah, the you know, you talked about Billy Butler as well, and this is, you know, I thought going into this series, this for a guy who's played a long time and is now finally getting to the World Series and has a shot, he's going into the next three games knowing that there will be no DH, knowing that at best he's probably going to come up in big situations. I imagine he would be the pinch hitter Ned Yost goes to when he needs a big hit, whether to tie the game or take the lead. And I kind of felt a little bit for Billy Butler, knowing what I know of him and the type of guy he is and what people say about him. And it was kind of nice, actually, to see him contribute in Game 2. It was almost like, well, you know, I may be gone for the next 3 days, but here's a little forget-me-not.
Yeah, well, I don't think Billy Butler's going to be gone. I think he is going to play a huge role still, and it's just going to be in a different role as a pinch hitter. And if we think we saw a lot of fun last night with the managerial moves and going to the bullpen, now going to San Francisco, playing some National League Baseball with double switches and all, it's going to be even more fun, I think, to watch both Yost and Bochy go to work. But I think with Billy Butler now, Ned Yost is going to have to pick the prime spot to maximize his potential. And it might be early in the game. It might be in the fourth inning. If it's a big situation with that Royals bullpen, I think everybody in the world now knows if they have a lead in the sixth inning, it's about over. It becomes a five-plus inning game anymore when you're playing the Royals.
Joe Siddle joins us on the Jeff Blair Show. So the Giants will be without Tim Lincecum. We believe they'll be without Tim Lincecum, which is kind of a sad story in its own right. But Hunter Strickland's still there. What do you do if you're Bruce Bochy with Hunter Strickland? Do you, at what point, Joe, do you think a manager, whoever, manager, general manager, catcher, get together and say, do we just have to stay away from this guy? Do you see a manager doing that? Do you see Bruce Bochy sitting there and saying, I've just got to stay away from this guy?
Well, I think you might have to. I think there's a couple of things at play here. We saw his emotions take over last night. And you know what? People make a big deal of that. But this is the World Series, guys. And this is the emotional times. And he was a very frustrated young man right there. We got to forget, this is a young player that was in the minor leagues this year. He's just coming up. And, you know, we've seen some young players on our own right in Toronto this year. Look at Stroman, Hutchison, Sanchez. And if these guys are put in that situation and they have their failures, that's frustrating. These guys are gamers. There's a reason they've gotten to the level they have. And I'm sure Hunter Strickland is much like that, where he's just he was extremely frustrated. His emotions took over, and I'm sure Bruce Bochy will address that with him. The difference being, this is the World Series now, and it's the playoffs. And during the regular season, you want to get him right back out on that horse, and you want to keep trying to get him out of this funk. He came in the night before and did a nice job, albeit a much different situation. But I think what you have to do here is you have to kind of continue to try to ride the hot hands. Right now, he is not that hot hand, so I think Bochy will have to go in another direction, whoever it may be, out of that bullpen to try to get to a situation where if they go back to Strickland, it might be more of a 3 or 4 run game either way. But I don't think you can keep going to a guy like that's not having success. There's just not enough time left.
And I will credit Hunter Strickland for saying after the game, I'm not too proud of that. My emotions got the best of me. He said, but it is what it is, and I can't take it back. So I'll credit him. I'll credit him for, you know, that stare down with Salvador Perez. And frankly, I didn't think Salvador Perez. I mean, look, I've got a pretty good eye for stuff like that, guys showing other guys up and that. I don't think he did anything. And, Joe, I think you saw by his reaction with his arms open wide.
Yeah.
And plus what we know about Salvador Perez, he's just not wired that way.
Well, and I think if anything, in watching some of the replays, really it was Strickland's back was to Perez. So the only thing we can think is it was it was a real slow trot around third. But you know what? If you're Hunter Strickland, you shouldn't even be watching the runners. You should have your head down, walking right back to the mound. But again, that's just frustration and emotions in this game. And I think everybody can say they've probably lost it at one point or another in your career. And that's just, it's a difficult time for a young pitcher that's really trying to do well for his team.
What did we learn about the Royals last night? In one line, let me rephrase that. What did you learn about the Royals last night that you may not have suspected?
They are never out of it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if I've learned that because I think I've learned that a while ago.
Mm-hmm.
But this team is, and you just look at the season that they've had where, you know, they're chasing the Tigers in the Central Division. They catch them at one point, and you think, wow, this Royals team is just going to overtake Detroit and win the Central. And then they lost their lead. The Tigers came back. Then they came back again and did that. And then the Tigers came back and won the Central Division. But they just continue to persevere. They you see a lot of character, obviously, in that room. I don't know a lot of those guys personally, but I think all of us from the outside can probably predict the kind of personalities that are in the room. These guys are just gamers, and they're riding a huge high right now, and they've been doing it for a while. They've been playing competitive games since really most of the second half of the season on here. So this is a lot of fun to watch this team. I honestly, again, thought that, you know, how long can you ride this wave? That the Giants, I just thought, were maybe a little deeper, a little more solid, and that will prevail. But, you know, you can't throw Madison Bumgarner every game, and that could be a problem for the Giants.
Joe, it was great to talk to you today. Thanks so much.
All right, Jeff, take care.
That is Joe Siddle, our Blue Jays radio analyst and Sportsnet 590 The Fan. As I refer to him, the Rookie of the Year. You can follow him on Twitter at Siddle Joe. Game 2 of the World Series goes Friday on Sportsnet Ontario and right here on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Michael Wilner will continue his Blue Jay A Day pregame show series. Critically acclaimed pregame show series, I might add, with Casey Janssen on Friday night. That will be at 7 o'clock. 7 p.m. in Sportsnet Ontario, MLB Central will have its World Series pregame show with Campbell and Zahn. And then at 8 bells, the first pitch is set to fly. The Royals at the Giants from AT&T Park. It'll be Jeremy Guthrie on the mound for the Kansas City Royals against Tim Hudson on the mound for the San Francisco Giants. And Tim Hudson, a guy who has, I wouldn't say resurrected his career this year, but a guy who certainly isn't going quietly into the night. That's probably the best way to describe Tim Hudson. We'll also have hockey on Friday night, 9 p.m. on Sportsnet 1, the Vancouver Canucks and the Colorado Avalanche. Get a chance to see Patrick Waugh's team. Get a chance to see the Vancouver Canucks. One of the really interesting stories in the NHL right out of the gate. And tonight, we'll have Thursday night hockey at 7:30 p.m. on Sportsnet 360. The Pittsburgh Penguins at the Detroit Red Wings. And by the way, kudos to the Pittsburgh Penguins, their fans, the entire organization for what they did last night in singing the Canadian national anthem. And it was a much appreciated gesture. All you have to do is go on social media to see how people in this country reacted to it. Now, it would have been nice if Major League Baseball had done something. As I said on Twitter, you know, it is the World Series. There is a Canadian team. The Canadian team has won the World Series. You know, and I'm not one of those people who runs around and says, hey, my tragedy is more important than yours. Tragedy is tragedy. And you don't rank tragedy. You don't say, yeah, but, you know, just one person died this time compared to others. A tragedy is a tragedy. All I know is this. And this is going to be all I'm going to say about it. We may take calls on this later in the show, but all I know is this. If this had happened in Washington, D.C., there would have been a moment's silence. That's all I'm saying. Take that for what it's worth. Read what you want into it. I'm really disappointed in Major League Baseball. I'm not one of those people who needs to hear the national anthem all the time. I understand that there's a significance to it. But I think somebody at MLB offices really deserves a kick in the ass this morning, because that was shameful. Cliff Corcoran is SI.com's MLB writer. Cliff Corcoran will join us. We'll continue our discussion on the World Series when the Jeff Blair Show continues on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.